Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode.
So, of course, we like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today, y'all gonna keep getting these repeats out of me because your girl has not been to a liquor store. And I apologize in advance, but I have wine. And so, therefore, I don't want to go to the liquor store.
Sasha, look, you know you are the only one holding us down over here.
I know. I feel so bad for our listeners. Like, we got three more shows left in the season. So I will make sure for the last three that I have some wine. That's not a repeat, and it's a new wine.
This could be the disclaimer of like sometimes it's just good to go with what you know.
Yeah, I will make sure. I will make a promise to our audience that one of those wines in our last three episodes will be a white wine. I will promise that. Even though
she's making real promises.
I don't fuss with the white wine. But I am just sipping on my favorite wine. Y'all have heard me talk about it before. I've had it on the show probably more than once. I'm drinking Josh Sellers Merlot. It is by far my favorite wine. I'm a Merlot drinker to begin with, but I really like Josh Merlot for some reason. It just tastes really good. So I know I did an extended review at some point, probably in season one. Or two of the podcast.
We had it together, and I'm pretty sure we had it when we first split and started drinking two wines.
Definitely. So I'm pretty sure that's way back in season one. I've done an extended review on it, but just to recap, it's pretty much a standard Merlot. According to the website, it's soft and inviting with balanced flavors of blueberry, raspberry, and milk chocolate, and it has scents of fragrant violets. Violets, like the flower. And vanilla. It says that it is the best of rich, bold flavors. So they recommend serving it with soft cheeses or meat-based pasta dishes. Y'all know red wine does well with red-based pastas. Hearty wine probably goes good with steak. Really, you're not going to hear me. No, I will drink Merlot with anything. So
I'm going to say, also, it's a classic Merlot. As someone who does not exactly prefer only Merlot, it is a classic Merlot.
Exactly. And if you want to know, apparently it's rated as in the top 7% of wines in the world. So
I can't believe that.
There's that. But yeah.
You said before that Josh is a great brand.
Yeah, they have really good wines. We've had some of their other wines before. So it's not like I've had their Cab Sav. We've had white wines too.
We had their Chardonnay, I think.
Or it might have been their Sauvignon Blanc that we had, but one of them was good. So you can't go wrong with a Josh wine. So that is what I am sipping on today. Sheree, of course, is still with child. So she's counting down to when she will be able to sip on some wine. So before we even get into the topic, I know I normally do this at the end, but y'all go ahead and just start on Instagram or at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. Go ahead and just start emailing us wines for Sheree to start drinking once
All of them. Liquor. It doesn't have to be wine. We can venture into new territory with, like, for me.
Whiskey, mixed drinks, sangria.
Wine cocktail. I need suggestions. I don't care what they are. I am making a list. I am like Santa over here, okay? September.
Hilarious. She will be forever grateful if you can recommend any sort of wine or drink that she can have. I know she will love y'all forever. So just make sure you leave in the comments. hello@swirlandsippodcast.com.
Please.
but before we get into the topic of today's episode, I do just want to give a general like trigger warning, sensitive topic. Warning, because we're going to be talking about school shootings today. It's a relevant topic. I mean, I'm sure people are still kind of reeling from what happened in Texas at Robb Elementary School. We saw similar things happen at Sandy Hook, and it seems to be a common occurrence, unfortunately, happening everywhere. But Sheree and I wanted to talk about it, one, from Sheree's perspective of being a teacher and having to
social worker.
You're right. Being a social worker at a school.
I was like, I always tell y'all, look, I give all deference and praise to teachers because they have way more patience than me. I'm a social worker. I socially work with kids.
And so in that regard, though, I'm sure you've had to deal with, I know Sheree had an article that was published.
Yes, I did.
On how
didn't to know that was going to happen.
On how to, I'm gonna put in the show notes for you guys. but she had an article on how to talk to your kids about things like this. But we wanted to talk about it from just her perspective, having to talk to kids about it and, you know, deal with their emotions, but also just from a parent perspective, because of course, Sheree more than me, but Sheree's son, Brendan, he'll be going into kindergarten in September.
Like now, like basically.
Real school. Yeah, he's going to real school, and Stokely has a late birthday, so he won't be going to next year, but he does go to a school type atmosphere. So it's my daycare.
And we all have like friend between our friends, family, and his and our their entire crew. There's lots of children. So like it's a thing that affects almost it affects everybody. But on that personal note, we're just like, this sucks.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I posted this, I think, after the shooting happened on my Instagram that when it comes to things like this, I don't read the stories about them. I don't look at the news about it. I don't like dive into the nuances of any of that. And it's really just because that's the only way I can protect my mental health. Because if I think about things like that too much, I will work myself up into an emotional panic attack, and not even for the sake of Stokely, like it will just emotionally like really get to me. Because they're children, like they are babies.
So I am very similar to you because I did see your post and I was like, I'll read, like, actually my mother told me don't even read. Like she told me when it happened, she said, don't even turn on the news. And I was like, Cause she knows that one of the things that I do for myself is I don't watch the news in general for my mental health already. Mm-hmm. But in the cases of like, sometimes on the afternoon I'll have it on or something. She said, don't even go there. So I found out like after like the next day kind of reading about stuff. And I was like, it makes me rageful. That's the reason why I can't watch, because after Sandy Hook, I think that was where I was like, if that didn't change.
Sandy Hook was babies. Like in Texas, they were, I mean, obviously they were children.
They were babies. Yeah. And like every, babies, like, but either way, like when Sandy Hook happened and I saw that, like the, I call it political circus that happened around that and the lack of real change. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, so we're okay with this as a, like as a Congress, I'll say, because.
Yeah, because it's not as a people. Like, what you call it? Polls have shown that even like gun lovers, Second Amendment right people, like they believe in like comprehensive
restrictions, background checks,
and things like that. It's not even like it's the will of the right side or that political party to, they don't want things like that. That's not true. It's something along the lines of like 80% of Americans agree in comprehensive gun reform, like limiting magazine size or upping the age,
or the bump stocks, or the
clothing things
that make it automatic, like it's things like that. Like we,
and this is the only country in the world, the only one where this happens. There are more guns, and I know all these facts because y'all know my husband's a police officer, and my husband will tell you that we don't need to have guns. Like as a cop, he is of the opinion to take all of them away. Take all of them, but we. We have more guns in this country than people.
Yes.
And we are the only country that has the level of gun violence in the whole world out of 200-some-odd countries.
The reason is because every other country, when a tragedy happened, it only took one time or minimal times, I'll say. before they were like, we need to do something about this quick.
I learned this on TikTok, and the guy put up the little facts, so I know it's real. So in Canada, I don't take TikTok about
we do love our TikTok, but we also are about facts and like
He was from Canada, and so he was explaining the process of like how to go about getting a gun in Canada, and like they have restricted ones that you need a very good reason to get them, and then you have like your handgun type ones. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that like you have to take a class.
You have to take a test, a class, like pass a background check.
Multiple background checks.
Apply and have a reason. I saw that and I was like,
you have to keep your gun separately from where you keep your bullets. Like the police have to come and inspect where you're keeping them.
To make sure that it's sign off on proper. Like it's not like it's a process.
Yeah. And then what he also pointed out, which I don't think a lot of people think about, and I don't remember if it was him or somebody else, but that the number one cause of death in the U.S. is death by gun, and it's actually death by suicide.
Yes.
And it's because when most people want to commit suicide, it is an impulse thing.
Yep.
And so if you have a gun, you are more likely to attempt suicide and be successful at it. Because mm-hmm. the people who have attempted suicide and have failed at it are less likely to attempt it again and, of course, not be as successful by it. And so the rate of suicide by gun violence is actually high because we have this access to guns. And so, and mind you,
I just want you to know, I know you just spit some real facts, and that was some heavy facts, but yes, girl, yes, come through with the mental health. That is because it's everything you said is absolutely true. That's the reason why, as a social worker, one of the things that we assess for when people say, I want to kill myself, well, let's go into that. Do you have the means? Yeah, more so, do you have lethal means? Lethal means meaning if you say, oh yeah, I got a gun and I know how to get one and I'm going to use one, you're going to the hospital. You might need to be evaluated further because your plan is more intense.
Yeah.
If you know, and guns, like you said, it's an impulse. So people don't even realize gun control does nothing. It has little to do with like, I want to take away everyone's guns.
Let's be honest. If gun reform is actually to happen, no one's guns are getting taken away. Like, let's be for real. What's going to happen is it's going to be harder to get new guns. But no, exactly. They're not coming to your house and taking guns.
They're not getting ready to kick in the door. Look, as we say in, you know, hoods, it's not like kicking the door, waving the 4-4. They're not getting ready to kick in the guns, kick in the door and take your guns. They're doing is you're not going to be able to be turned 18 and buy three.
And that was also the other thing in Canada too. Like if you want to sell your gun to another person, like you have to perform the background check. Like it still goes through that whole process. It's still a waiting period. Like it's not this quick transfer thing that just can go under the table type stuff when it comes to selling guns. And I say all of this as someone who lives in a household with a gun. My husband, we have a gun in our house. Like I never see it. He keeps it.
I feel like somewhere. I think there's only been one time that it has been in our range of view and not like out, but one of those things where I was like, I think it's over there. And
it was, he used to, before we had Stokely, he would just take it off and like,
yeah, I think that was when it was like, it was years ago when I was just like,
and like now we'll never see it out now. Like he goes upstairs, he takes it off, he puts it somewhere that's out of the reach of Stokely. We taught Stokely that like it's not a toy. Like he's not, even when Richard wears it, like he's not allowed to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's because, you know, we make sure that he's aware, like, no, this is, you know, something that's real. It can hurt you. And so we teach him that. And I get asked the questions because it's something that doctors ask you, like, do you have a gun in the home? Yes, we do.
Yes.
My husband's a police officer. But like I said, he will wholeheartedly say that don't nobody, including the cops, need to have a gun.
And that's the thing. It's like, I, being a person who, like, because they try to make this such a political, the thing that pisses me off, as parents, it's like, as parents, I'm sitting here like, can we just, like, as a humanitarian standpoint, just take away the, like, shift that they try to do with, they're trying to make this into your political statement. It's not a political statement. Children died.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like the idea of, well, we just need to arm teachers. Because I saw a post on Facebook from a cousin of mine. It's kind of like a distant cousin. Mm-hmm. And it showed like a guy who had like probably some sort of AR gun. Mm-hmm. I don't know that, but it was one of those types of guns. And it was like, you know, oh, I didn't feel bad sending. And it was literally right after it happened. I don't feel bad sending my kid to school because this is who's guarding school. He's a retired military. Like, he's into things. And my first reaction to that was like, why is this the solution? Why is this?
Yeah, the solution is more guns
into a school. And when we have seen over and over again that, and I've talked about this before, that police who are trained to go against their flight or fight mechanism, who are trained against that, still have
hesitated and still. Then that's the thing that it's like, but we've proven time and time again that a good guy with a cop, I mean, a good guy with a gun does not stop. As a matter of fact,
in Buffalo, in the shooting that happened in Buffalo, he was a retired, the security guard at the supermarket was a retired police officer. He had a gun. He still died.
And so did everyone else. Exactly. So it's like, I remember two instances of posts that I saw last night that I remembered. And it's because I met one of them at a social work conference, and the other one, we've seen two instances where there was supposed school shootings that would have happened that were stopped by people, and they did not have guns. They used empathy and support.
Oh, I saw that in Atlanta.
Tough. Yes, Antoinette Tough. I met her and I have her book. And she talked about
She was like talking to the guy, just like
literally had a gun. He had a gun and intended to kill people. And she talked him down with empathy, love, respect, all of these things. She was a bookkeeper.
She was like, it's okay, baby. Like, you know, I know we all going through something. No, they're not going to do nothing to you. I'm going to talk right here.
She was like, no. If I take the gun, put it over here, like they played the recording on one of the TikToks, and it was like, she's like, I'll take the gun, put it on the other side. He's laying on the ground. And she was almost motherly to him to make sure he didn't get hurt and everything like that. And the other one that I thought of was, I think this might have been in, I cannot remember where the other one was, the location, but it was the guy it might have been in New York, but it was the guy who was a coach who literally like hugged, like, gave the guy and hugged him. Yes. And literally like took the gun away and just let him cry.
Yeah.
It was one of those things. I was like, he had no gun.
But that's also like,
and those were situations that definitely went against fight or flight.
But to me, it's just like, teachers did not sign up to be the military or the police. So why do we want it to be their job to have to try to defend and keep
protect
kids from dying? And teachers have it hard enough as it is.
So first and foremost, you don't trust them to teach math without adding critical race. You don't trust them to tell, you don't trust them to pick the books and curriculum for your students, but you trust them to put their life on the line. Like, they didn't sign up for this, okay? That is literally not what they said. Teachers are not a part of the military, and they should not be they should not be a frontline worker to pick up a gun. And also, let me just tell you, I work in a school, and I think that is one of the dumbest things I've heard, because I'm like, do you number one know how unlocked school classrooms are? You want me to have a gun with disgruntled students who like to fight? Oh, yes, let's bring more guns into the school.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room that says that most of these school shootings, because the response a lot of times to things like this is like, oh, Chicago, right? Like,
ooh, I got a piece on that.
Chicago, let's do research, guys. Chicago gets most of its illegal guns from outside
Indiana.
In Indiana, where they have looser gun laws. So that's number one.
And they're starting to classify those as mass shootings. If you look at the statistics,
because
that's my view. Disclaimer, that is my view.
Mass shootings, for as much as people love to hate on inner city areas and urban areas and how bad these schools are, they are not happening there.
They're not happening.
Because they might be shootings.
There are shootings. There are drive-by. There are shootings where they are shootings where four or more, because that's what they have to classify as a mass shooting. And I'm like, you'll see, I just want the narrative that is being twisted round now. And this is why I say it pisses me off the more I delve into it, hence why I can't. Because now it's these 12 mass shootings. And then as I read which one they are, it's like, oh, a drive-by. No, sweetie, that's not the same as what's been classified as. A concert, a movie theater, a place where you're a church. Schools. Yeah. That's not the, those aren't the same. Community violence is not the same.
No.
And it never has.
I mean, and that's a problem in and of itself. Don't get us wrong. Like, that's a whole separate problem.
We know it's a problem, but the fact that they always try to put it in there.
Mm. Let's be for real. We all know that those shootings that are happening, it's not to kill mass people.
No.
It's most of the time focused on one person or two people and everyone else who happens to get shot in the process.
And it's usually collateral damage.
That's what I'm saying. It's wrong place, wrong time for everybody else who's there. Like, they're aiming for one person. And so it's, and I guess for me, this is why I tend not to be too worried about school shootings.
So this is the reason why I do worry, because similarly, no, I've not been worried growing up in D.C. I'm not worried the same way. Now, this is only because in D.C., when I was growing, when I went to high school, we went through a metal detector. We went through metal detectors. We went through X-ray machines. That's the norm. And the thing about it is that I've also noticed that a lot of places, especially Midwest, and this has been since Columbine, like they're like, I never thought it would happen here. And I'm like, most of these places don't have the same type of security that urban environments do have.
That's where it's happening.
Exactly. But they don't have the same type of thing, because you think urban environment is dangerous. So they're like, oh, we have to make sure there's nothing coming into the school. And I'm like, well, thank you for that. As a result, we have a lot of community violence. Like, you might have like a problem coming to and from school, which we definitely have a community problem, but we aren't having students walk in with an AR-15. No.
Because most of them don't even have that kind of style of weapons to begin with. Like,
my school, I remember we still have, like, at my school, we still have things like the drills of like, where would we hide? And I was like, and I'm not really worried about because of the location of my school. I'm like, you ain't getting to my school. You're not walking down the street into towards my school where my school is located, because my school is very close to downtown.
I mean, did you see what happened in D.C. when they had that guy who had like the AR type style gun and went, like, he was close to the school and they shut all that shit down? They were like, nah. Like,
exactly. It was like, you would die.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I mean when I say, like, the elephant in the room is that, like, they still don't want to address, like, the issue is guns. Don't add more guns. And also, like, if you want to, why don't we protect the schools differently? But definitely stop. We cannot say that teachers are the line of defense.
I don't agree with that. No.
Number one, teachers are parents.
And I'll say that
teachers are parents and have families too.
In my opinion, because, you know, what also likes to be thrown out there every time something like this happens is that, oh, it's a mental health issue. It's not a gun issue. The two go hand in hand. Anybody, in my opinion, anybody who can indiscriminately shoot people, there is something mentally wrong with
them. Absolutely.
Especially someone who can do it to children. That's a completely different.
Like, and the thing is, we're not
The fact that people who would have those thoughts and ideas and to do something like that have the ability to easily get a weapon to then fulfill that fantasy is what the problem is.
And the other thing about it that I always say is the mental health piece. I agree with you. The mental health piece is there, because it's like, okay, obviously anyone who wants to harm others in that way, you throw it off, dude. There's something wrong with you. But to blame it on mental illness,
only mental health
is so disrespectful to people who definitely do not ever, like, most people who have mental health issues are actually victims of
more than
criminals. So
they're not violent to others. So two things that makes me think of is that, one, despite people being worried about this guy and how he was talking and everything like that, he still was able to legally buy his gun. And then two, the other narrative is, of course, you know, all the kids these days are, which I don't even know why it's these days, because we used to play the same shit, are like, it's the video games and it's the TV.
It was the video games during Columbine.
American media is shown across the world.
Yep.
They are exposed to the same things that we are exposed to here.
But and as a matter of fact, a lot more violence and other across the country, because we have these PG ratings and stuff for sex and violence. And I've seen other countries.
Can see a whole penis.
It's a whole penis. You'll see some guts flying. I'm like, wait a minute. Look, their horror is different.
I think it was like Jimmy Kimmel or some shit like that with Marshawn Lynch. And they were playing one of the newer versions of Mortal Kombat.
It's fatality. Yes. It's for real. We're willing to place the blame on anything and everything. But here's the other thing about that. Let's go down that path. I'm a person who I'm like devil's advocate. Let's go down that path. It's mental health. Okay, so let's fund mental health and make sure that we shore up healthcare and mental health. No, you don't want to do that. Okay, cool. I don't know. Teachers. Okay, so teachers are the line of defense. So we should probably pay teachers some kind of hazard pay if you're getting ready to have them have to do these drills like they're signed up like fucking military.
You don't want to do that. I'm having right now because I'm just like, yeah.
Like, here's the other thing about it. There's no good outcome for a teacher having a gun in the school.
No.
Because if they fail to act, then they're liable because they didn't. If they do and they shoot the wrong kid, okay, now that teacher's career is over, and not to mention traumatized for the rest of their damn life.
Yeah.
Like, there's no good answer if a student gets hold of a gun. Like, what part of us
already have to do so much outside of the classroom to prepare for teaching that we're going to ask them to then take classes or keep up with how to be prepared on how to act in an active shooter situation?
Not to mention that includes learning how to store, how to clean, how to operate and be comfortable with a gun. Because one thing about that, this is something that I'm pretty sure that Richard has definitely done and talked about, but you go through multiple trainings and refreshers
to
make sure you're okay with your shooting, your aim, and how to properly care and clean your gun there's a lot of stuff that goes into it rather than just picking it up and being like, I know what to do.
Let's talk about that too, because you're talking about in the most cases of school shootings, it is another child who is doing this. It is hard for people in the military to shoot a child. You think that a teacher is going to be able to do it? Let alone, let it be a student that they know. You think that a teacher is going to be able to kill or shoot? Because, miss me with the narrative that, oh, you don't have to shoot to kill. That's bullshit. Because police training, that type of training in an active shooter situation,
if you come in with a gun, because
you're not going to aim for the shoulders or the leg. You aim for the biggest body mass. That's your chest.
You aim center mass because you have to go.
We're talking about shooting to kill.
Mm-hmm.
You want a teacher to shoot a child to stop a mass shoot. Like, that's where we
people who actually went into a field to care for, help the next generation, to kill the next generation.
Like, that's where we have decided as a country that we want to be, that we want teachers to,
we don't want them to still make anyone like feel uncomfortable though. Remember, because we can't talk about like race and gender and sexuality and everything, because we don't want to talk about those things. That's too much. That's too grown. But guns, it's okay for our children to know, like, even if you think it was so many nuances getting into, like, if someone's disabled, these children have to know how to spread blood on themselves to make themselves look like, why the fuck is we okay with this?
Yeah, that's not.
Why are we okay with our children learning the drills of, hell, this ain't a fire drill we're talking about, okay? This isn't stop, drop, and roll.
We never experienced that as kids, right? We never had those types of drills. And at some point, this somehow became the norm where it's okay for kids to go through things like this.
And I do believe that there is a piece of it that I understand the narrative, the understanding of, like, yes, you want children to know what to do, because this is a new thing. But why not just try to prevent it from happening?
Yeah, like they shouldn't have to know that. Like,
just like we have fire safety. Why the hell do we have fire safety? We don't let buildings just burn up because we're like, oh, shit. I mean, don't y'all have fire extinguishers? Like, no, we ain't got to call the police. No, we ain't got to call the fire department. The teachers know how to put this fire out.
And I just don't understand the idea of, like, any action is too much action. Like, that, because that's what most people on the right say. Well, I'm not.
Yeah, even any action is too much action. Basically, that means we have no action.
Yeah, like, and I get, you know, like, yes, the Constitution. Sure. Okay. Yep. But people, I actually watched on Instagram today a video where, or no, it was on TikTok, where the girl was asking people to, she must have been at a gun rally or something, there's clearly people on the right, and she was like, can you tell me what the Second Amendment says? And everyone is like, oh, a right to bear arms. And she says, yes, but it's a sentence. So what's the rest
of it? Can you say the full sentence? Because I can.
What's the rest of it? And not a single one of them could. Because people love to forget that the part of it that people leave out is a well-regulated.
It's like the religion. Government will not come. Basically, paraphrasing, the government will not take away guns from in lack of a well-armed militia. Militia meaning back then you didn't have an army, like not the same type of armies that we got. We got about five different branches.
We need our guns to protect us against a tyrannical government. You are not stopping jets and rocket launchers and tanks. Okay.
So you think that you're gonna stop? We talk about how I love that y'all, that like people really sit around and think that they are like G.I. Joe up in this bitch. It's hilarious to me because I'm like, and that's the thing that makes it's so sickening. It's laughable, but it is. Then at the same time, you realize this is people's realities and you're like, wow, this is sad as shit. But like, yes, you think that you, Joe from down the block, is getting ready to sit outside and be like, come on, government. If the government comes and decides that they're getting ready to do a hostile takeover, let me be clear. I'm going to the woods, definitely. I'm probably going to the woods that I grew up in, Rock Creek. I'm going to go there. I'm going off the damn grid, though, but I'm not getting ready to be sitting there like I'm standing with the militia. Nah.
I would almost say that most people of color will be like, y'all got this. Like,
nah, y'all go on with y'all.
Fighting that battle. Whoever wins, whatever our new government is at the time, just let me know what the rules are with that one.
I'll like, it out hey, like, right. Can it be not as, like, can we break down racism while we do
this? Yeah, like, are we starting over?
If we start over, I got some suggestions. But this, because this isn't it. So I'm with, like, down with government. Sure. Oh, you mean, like, oh, fuck
everything. You want me to pick up arms?
Okay, wait.
I'm not.
I know, but that's the other thing. And then the thing that I keep on thinking of, because it was another thing that we said when it was like, oh, Brandon brought up this point, and I said, damn, I don't even realize this. Considering Columbine happened so long ago, and we have these active school shootings, I mean, active school shooter like things, the students that are committing these newer crime
they know all
have
of
gone
stuff.
Through active shooter
yeah.
drills.
Yeah.
It's like
they know where you're hiding and what the
they know the drill
they, is and what's live and what's not live.
Yes. So I'm like, it's like we're teaching, we're not even addressing that, like you're not getting ready to outsmart them, but also that is the it's like we're not gonna outsmart them, but also that's really messed up because, like, if you think about it, that means that we have to address where are they getting this. And to be honest, I believe that it's not going to go away until, like, a lot of these places. Because I know that, like, Marjorie Stone.
Mm-hmm. That in Florida.
Marjorie Stonewall or Stoneman. I'm not good at the last part, but I remember the Marjorie place. I think they sued as well as Sandy Hook have sued. And it's not going to happen until you start hitting gun manufacturers and NRAs in their pockets. Because
the NRA as an organization is bankrupt. Like, point blank, period.
They should be.
No, they are. Like, they.
I mean, like, as they should be.
Yeah. And, like, And so the political power or the idea that the NRA is running people, they don't have any money to give, right? And so honestly, what it boils down to, because this is what anything in this country boils down to. It's about people using their power of their voting to elect people who are going to make fundamental changes. And again, that means
they're like, being run based on people donate to them, that then they take that money and donate to candidates.
Yeah, and it's like, over 80% of Americans believe in sensible gun reform. Like all of the things that we talked about, we're not talking about going into people's home banning guns. We're not talking about like getting rid of what people already own. But
I'm not even saying that you can't own a, like we're not saying you can't own a gun, because I remember with all the stuff that was happening with the social unrest and the social injustice. Oh, that was definitely a conversation that happened in my house where I was like, oh, I need to go. I already know how, like, I've gone shooting before. But I'm like, as much as I don't prefer to have a gun, oh, I'm going to shoot and probably one day we'll have a gun.
The last two times that there's been any sort of gun reform, gun control, actual gun control is in the 60s and 70s when too many black folks were getting guns.
Uh-huh.
Heaven forbid they use their Second Amendment.
Heaven forbid all of us join the NRA.
Yeah. And then in the early 90s when they did have a ban on assault rifles, and for people who say that gun control doesn't work, it's bullshit, because when the AR style assault rifle guns were banned in the early 90s, there were less shootings, people.
And the thing is that they let those things expire, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
It's like y'all want these problems at this point. And it's not even like we're asking for things. Like we have, like we said, with our sons and children, I'm going to, like, I remember Brendan has his step up ceremony next week. And I was like, at first I was like, oh my gosh, this is so happy. And then my immediate next thought was, oh shit, like that's terrifying. On a, like, I had just a fear, that a feeling that came over me, because I was like, these kids that died a couple of weeks ago were at similar stuff, honor rolls and like end of the year beautifulness. And I was like, I can't even imagine. I can't fathom it. I can't even fathom going to school, seeing my child, and then not seeing my child. Oh, I've become a one-person guerrilla team, just if you want to know. Like,
it has to be, as a parent, the worst call that you could ever get, that there is an active shooter situation at the school that your kid is going to, and you have no idea what the status of your child is. And outside of Sandy Hook, like what happened in Texas, they couldn't even identify some of these kids. Like that's as a parent, to have to think that you can't even give your baby a proper like funeral because of how their body was left. Like, yeah, like it's like that's horrible. Like, that's horrifying.
Like, and I don't think there's any person in this country, if you ask them individually.
Yeah.
I cannot see anyone who's like, oh no, I'm okay with, you know, but children dying. I don't believe that anyone believes that. I do believe that we sit here and do these debates. And that's why I said there are some people who I can't watch the news, and I can't watch some of these things, because the thoughts that I have are not Christianly. And I know that we already had that conversation on don't be a shitty person, don't do shitty things. That was about our religion thing. And it makes me think and wish some shitty things. Because I'm like, they said it was doors was the problem. And the fact that they have one entrance, they should have one entrance in and out. I said,
so we're getting rid of fire safety now. Now we're just going to make everybody go to one exit and make it
so easier. So we're going to trample children instead of, we're going to trample children or trap them all into one building. Wow.
And it's the length that the mind gymnastics that go on in order to say that it's anything but guns, and that it is like without
the leftist agenda.
Even without explicitly saying that, like, oh, like this is the price that we pay, children is the price that we pay. I'm not going to say the quiet part out loud, but I'm going to like bounce around to everything essentially that touches that without saying that. Because if it doesn't motivate you to change something, then you have decided that you are okay with the cost of this being
chosen. That's basically what you're saying. You're saying that this cost is okay. And yes, the day that our country said that, that's why I said Sandy Hook was the point when I said, oh, so we're okay with children losing their life to keep our guns. Because if you ask me, and I'm talking about even if we would go to the extreme and say if we never had guns in this country to save children, you ain't got to ask me, all right, cool, take my gun. Like, nah.
Do you know how much safer this country would be right now?
No, because, we can't get into that because we get into that and we get into the people and we got to be able to trust everyone who will still be able to have guns. That takes another conversation, but we would be safer.
You would be safer.
Another thing they would say is, oh, well, you know what? It doesn't stop. Criminals will always find a way to do crime. And I was like, but access
is illegal.
Yeah, but access makes a difference.
I've never understood that argument. Oh, criminals will still get guns. Yeah, criminals are still going to do a lot of shit. We still have laws that, like, make shit illegal. Like,
here's the thing. Yeah, you can't make, like, of course, we can't drink and drive. We got laws against that. People still do it. And when shit happens, there's things in place.
Yeah, like, you will never convince me that any of these arguments make sense. And again, this is coming from someone who has a gun in their household. Like, I understand the Second Amendment. I know that there are a lot of people in large swaths of the country who I do not understand their lifestyle, how they live. I don't do hunting, none of that stuff. I get all that. It's a very different way of living. So I come from my perspective of growing up in suburbia right outside of Washington, D.C. in PG County. My opinion is, like, I don't need no gun. Like, I'm fine without a gun. Like, I don't understand why most people want guns. Like, I get it.
I don't understand what's the appeal.
I do. I get like hunting. Cool.
There is an appeal for certain lifestyles, but like,
I even get the, like, I'm going to keep a handgun at home in case somebody breaks in.
And that's the other thing. I get protection of self. Yeah,
I get that.
What the fuck are you protecting with military style weapons?
And they can't infringe on my right to have a gun. Like, it's not an automatic weapon. Any of those guns, both of my parents were in the military, y'all. Those guns were made and designed to kill people. They were not made for hunting. They were not made for self-protection.
As a matter of fact, they said you can't use them for hunting because it will
destroy the animal. Like, it will make
it. What are we talking about?
Yeah, like, it's not, I don't understand the appeal of, like, oh, I want to get this gun so I can go to a gun range and, like, shoot cans and, like, shoot 50 rounds in 1 second or whatever like that. Like, that I don't get. Like, and y'all can be mad at me if you are pro Second Amendment to this extent. To me, I don't understand the need for assault type rifles. I don't get it. They are literal military weapons. They were made and designed as weapons of war to kill people. That's what it is. So I don't understand why we need those. You want to have a shotgun, you want to have just a standard little rifle, you want to have a handgun.
You can have 50 of them.
Knock yourself out.
I don't care about the quantity, but what I do care about is
that's gonna shoot six.
If you can buy a gun where I can mow down, but where I can mow down a row of people in seconds, I don't think that needs to be in the hands of a civilian.
Anyone
outside of war needs that. And I don't know what war you preparing for. If you like, and once again, going back to, if you think you need that, then I as a professional in the mental health field want to question, what is it you're preparing for? I'm concerned. Who are you getting ready to fight?
I think we can end it on this one, because I did see a post that was like, if you are so concerned about background checks and mental health checks limiting access to guns, then you need to be asking yourself, or you are probably the type of person
that would not be able to have a gun if that shit passed. And that's all I'm saying. Like, and that's a perfect way to end it. Okay. Like, you are worried about these things, taking away your guns. You are who we're talking about.
Yeah, you're who we're talking about. You're exactly who we're talking about. So we know that this is a heavy episode. It's a heavy topic. And we understand that, again, Sheree and I come from our own life experiences. we don't live certain lifestyles. We get all that. And so we know there are varying opinions about that. But as parents, as a country, I think it is a conversation that needs to continue to be happening, because unfortunately, these things happen so frequently that it happens, it goes away, no one talks about it, and things just continue
to be more of the same. And then here we are, you know, months or years or, you know, weeks later, saying the same thing. And as parents, like we said, as just basic human beings, I don't think any of us want to see children or anyone just randomly die.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We would love to hear your thoughts about this issue, or like if you feel a certain way about guns, we would like to know. How have you all been protecting your mental health in times like this, when these things seem to be happening over and over again? Sheree and I said we don't watch the news. We don't. Mm-hmm. I won't even get in that stuff into my head, because I just can't deal with it.
It doesn't turn me into a social worker. So
yeah, Sheree gets mad. I get very panicky, upset, and like emotionally sad. Because I think too hard about like parents and like these kids in their last moments and things like that. So I hope that everyone, while these things are constantly being put out in the news, that you are protecting your mental space and take a step back. Like, don't read all the stuff. Don't look at all the stuff. Like, scroll past it. Like, it is okay to turn that stuff off and not engage in arguments, devil's advocate, none of that shit. Like, you can turn yourself off from that type of stuff.
Have your opinion and literally just let it be, because we're not changing people's minds.
Yeah, no.
From a Facebook post.
I'm going to link to Sheree's article in the show notes, because she does give tips about how to talk to your kids and deal with these types of things mental health wise. So I'm going to link to that.
I definitely did a thing.
She did a thing. It was on the news. So I'm going to link to that in the show notes, but we would love to hear from you guys. Of course, you can always comment on our Instagram at Swirl and Sip Podcast. You can email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. Make sure that you
rate, review, and subscribe or something.
Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the show.
I think the liking is important.
Yes, because it helps. The rating and reviewing is the important part. It helps other people find the show, and it helps our important conversations like this be heard by other people. And that's really what we're trying to do, is just have more of these conversations, and we want more people's opinions, and we love to just hear what other people think. So make sure that you do that. We're available on all of your major podcast platforms.
You see, this is what happens when you have your regular Josh Sellers.
I'm like, I just stumbled through that whole
like you have that spiel down pat.
I used to, because we don't record every week now. That will leave me with the line that I always do remember, is make sure you have your wine glasses ready for our next episode.
Bye, y'all.
Audio Podcast Network.